You are listening to Supernatural Confessions, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platform. Share with us your story through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series, and now let's get on to the confessions. Hello once again to fellow listeners of Supernatural Confessions. How has your past week been? Hopefully everybody is fine. Today I'm going to read to you a story sent in by Fox. The title is A Remote Island. This story, it's longer than the usual story that's sent in, so hope you guys enjoyed it. I like to share this weird story in order to find an explanation for it. While I refuse to believe in paranormal or superstitious things, I still enjoy movies and books about them. Although I've encountered a few strange occurrences that I still can't make sense of it, I still refuse to believe it, because believing in it would make me scared. And this is one of those. Back in January 2022, I wanted to go a self-healing trip due to the passing of my best friend a year prior. I have this habit of looking for untouched, raw places in Google Maps using satellite view. I usually just look at it for hours and hours, zooming in on places I think difficult to reach and start Googling for information about the place. And I found an island, a beautiful white sandy beach island. At least that's what it looked like from the satellite view. I will not disclose this island's name because I want to keep it secret from tourists in hope that it won't be exploited into a touristic island so I can return one day to enjoy its beauty once again. I had several more options, but I fell in love with this just from the satellite image. I'm a dive master who has lived several years in several beautiful islands, so I can at least tell that this island is perfect. It is a small island, approximately 0.83 kilometers square, no high terrain, and is protected by some sort of wave breakers and sandbanks just about 300 meters from the shore, making the beach safe from big waves. I was told by the locals in nearby island that the eave breakers are new island. Anyway, I did not find any information about the island except for one 4-year-old article which only talk about local professor who made a day trip to said island and said it's a beautiful island, and that's it. So I started my plan to go to this island. I needed to go to the closest civilization to the island. What I needed was a flight, a 6-hour bus ride, a 12-hour ferry ride, and about 24 hours of waiting around to reach the nearby town or a village, because it didn't look like a town. Even getting the information about the transportation to get to that village was a headache. I packed my stuff, including camping gear, survival kits, and went on with my journey. I reached the village, let's call it Port Village, at almost midnight. With my heavy backpacks, I walked a kilometer from the port to the village. There was no public transportation, sadly. I was very tired from the journey, so I asked around for lodging, but there were none. Yep. They don't have any hotels, B&B or lodgings. And they were quite suspicious at this man who was walking around at midnight with heavy gears. They are very wary of visitors as they don't really have many of us. I planned to set up my camp on the field nearby. So I asked one family, and thank God they were still awake, for permission, because I didn't want to alarm anyone that would see my camp in the morning. A nice family instead offered me a room to sleep for the night, free of charge. They even fed me breakfast. God bless the family. The next morning, I spoke to the family about my intention to go to this remote island. They don't know much about it and asked if they know any boat that I can hire to take me there. So they took me to another family. I spoke to an old lady of this another family, and she said she had a cousin who had a small fishing boat, but he lived in another island or another village. Let's call it Fish Village. So, she called her cousin, the boat captain, to pick me up from the port village at noon. I thanked the lady and paid the boat rent and also gave it a little bit more because of her time. While waiting, I went to buy some supplies and fill up my water jug. When I returned to the old lady's house, she offered me a cup of coffee and some snack. We sat there and had a conversation. Some particular questions she kept repeating to me were, "Are you sure you want to go to that island? And are you not afraid to be alone in that island?" The boat captain also asked those same questions to that lady over the phone. I told her that I'm used to travel alone to all these kind of places, even in tribal areas. She didn't look so sure and had this, "This guy is nuts" look. Then come noontime. The boat captain picked me up from the old lady's place. He told me it took about 15 minutes from his village to get to the port village by boat. I asked how long does it take to get to the remote island. He said it takes about an hour. While walking to the port, he explained to me that it wasn't a good season to go out to the sea and that the waves are big and often stormy. I asked if it's safe, because if not, I had to stay a month in that village to wait out for any rainy season to end. He said it's okay. He told me that some fishermen usually live on that island to fish in fishing season for a few months, then move out once the rainy season starts. So right now, the island is empty. He explained to me where the freshwater well is located and which part of the island I can go to get phone coverage. To my surprise, it actually caught 4G signal in a particular spot, although weak. He warned me and sort of emphasized on it not to go to the center of the island or into the forest. He said, and he keep repeating this, "You'll get lost and never come out. Stay on the shoreline. Stay on the shoreline." He also told me not to swim to the sandbank, understanding that villagers tend to be superstitious. I shrugged it off. At that port, I saw the small boat, about 5 meters long and 1.5 meters wide. It was scary, considering the dark cloud was looming over where we were heading. About 15 minutes ride later, the waves were starting to go crazy. I was scared and excited at the same time. 30 minutes in, it wasn't exciting anymore. The board was experiencing a problem. Because the waves were big, the engine was flooded, which later the captain told me he forgot to close some lids or something. The captain asked me to take the helm, change course and navigate the boat through the waves towards his village while he fixed the engine and took the water that came in the boat. He asked me if it's okay to go to the island tomorrow and just stay overnight at his village. I said, "It's fine. I just wanted to survive that day." It's a good thing that I'm a dive master who have been on many boats for years, so I sort of know how to navigate through a choppy sea. He asked me if I can swim, and that question terrified me. About 10 minutes, we dealt with the disaster. Finally, the problem was fixed. He took back the helm and changed the course again towards the remote island. We rode the angry sea with me humming to the Pirate of Caribbean theme and sang Paradise by Coldplay. When we finally made it to the island, I had mixed feelings. I was relieved that we survived the storm and I was in awe of the beauty of the island. But at the same time, I felt this certain loneliness and sadness, like I was looking at a beautiful island from the memory of my past. I boarded off with my gears. To my surprise, the captain said he will go home and will call me later that day. He asked me when do I wanted to be picked up. I said, "I'll call and let me know." Before he said goodbye, he warned me again not to go into the forest. I nodded while thinking it is a small island, nobody can get lost in it. I turned around and realized that he dropped me at an abandoned fisherman's settlement. There were around 6 to 8 small elevated huts made from woods and coconuts, fronds and leaflets. I picked up my gears from the beach and walked towards one of the huts and set my gear on the stairs. I looked around for a bit to find a good camping spot. I looked curiously at the forest behind the settlement. It certainly gave off a strange feeling and somehow it sent chills down my spine. I got rid of the negative thoughts and found a good camping spot. I picked up my tent and started to set it up. While setting up the tent, I heard rustling noises from the forest. At first, I thought it came from some curious small animals until it made a weird sound that I've never heard from an animal before. I thought maybe It was some kind of big flightless bird. The sound it was making felt like it came from a bird species because how unique the noise was, like a mix of ostrich mating call with wild boar noise. I don't really know how to explain it, but I know for a fact that ostrich don't exist in that area and wild boars tend to avoid heavy forests. I could be wrong about the boars though. The noises distracted me for a couple times and I became alarmed. I tried to ignore it and finish up building my tent. Once I finished setting up my tent, I put the rest of my gears in it. Next thing I did was look for freshwater well. The captain told me the well is located just at the outskirts of the forest, not far behind the settlement. I went looking for it and stepped over muddy pathways. The chills down my spine became intense and my nape hairs stood straight out of nowhere. I had a feeling that something or someone is watching me, but I kept going. A few meters from the pathway, I found the well. I checked it while trying to ignore the chilling feeling that kept poking my skin. After a few minutes, I returned to my camp and unpacked. The feeling subsided when I entered my tent. It was around 4 p.m. when I looked for twigs and branches for bonfire around the camp. The feeling of being watched was still lingering, but I tried my best to ignore it. Once I collected enough, I made a small bonfire and cooked a meal for dinner. I sat on a log at a beach in front of my camp with a headphone wrapped around my ears. The storm had passed a few hours ago. I sat there while listening to Satan by Sleeping at Last and enjoying the sunset and a bowl of soup in my hand. After a wonder sunset, the bonfire seemed to die off too and it started to rain a bit. Tired from the long journey, I wanted to get to rest to restore my energy as soon as possible to prepare for an exploration the next day. I left the embers of the bonfire and went into the tent. I turned on the lights to read an e-book for a short moment to help me sleep. It was getting dark outside and the atmosphere changed. Suddenly, the entire hair on my skin stood straight. It was so intense, I couldn't ignore it. So I tried to keep my mind busy with some movies I downloaded in my phone. But my thoughts went crazy. I started to see unpleasant images. I tried so hard to think about something else, pleasant things, good memories. I tried to chase the bad thoughts away, but it persisted. I started to see scary things in my head, images that at times seems to be so real, yet I can't remember what they were now. Meanwhile, the chills were so intense, I shivered in that hot, humid evening. So I put a pair of headphones in my ear and played storm noises that sometimes I use to help me sleep. I closed my eyes tightly and tried to sleep through all the strange sensations I was experiencing at that moment. My feet was touching the fabric of the tent when my right foot was shoved from the outside. I was startled and drew my feet away from the edge and moved my sleeping position to a bit center of the tent. I thought maybe it was the water jug falling off because I put the jug exactly on the other side of where my right foot was and the other side was a small porch of my tent, which means it was inaccessible from the outside touch as I closed the porch cover as well. I will check in the morning, I thought, which I finally fall asleep about an hour later. When I woke up in the morning, the first thing I did was to check if my water jug indeed fell off. It didn't. It stayed there standing on the other side of the tent where my foot were last night. It got me curious on what might shove me that night. A monitor lizard, which is common there, couldn't possibly do that because they are too big to slip into my tent's porch through the bottom slit without disturbances that I wouldn't notice. So that remains a mystery until today. Then come part 2.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone.
The morning was sunny and nice. The eerie atmosphere wasn't as strong as the other day, and the isle looked amazingly beautiful and pristine. I decided to take a morning swim before exploring the island. My original plan was to set up camp there temporarily when I arrived and moved to the northern part the next day, because according to the satellite image, the northern part has promising view and a nice bay, although lacking fresh water source. After a swim and breakfast, I packed my small dry bag with survival kit and walked along the beach in the western part of the island towards north. I was excited to see so many short coconut trees. I made a mental note to grab some coconuts on my way back to the camp. While trailing the beach, I couldn't help but glance at the forest every few seconds. The forest was very thick with various tropical vegetations. It is surprisingly quiet, no birds singing, no rustling noises made by rodents. All I heard was the gentle sounds of small waves hitting the soft, white, sandy beach. It was peaceful, yet haunting. Most of the northern part was covered with pine trees. I stood on a small cap and scouring the area. It is where I got my phone coverage and a weak 4G signal. My friends' messages started coming in. I checked on them and sent them pictures and videos I made on the island. I then went on to the bay and explored the area. I went into the pine forest and found a nice camping spot. The forest atmosphere wasn't as heavy as the west part of the island, though I was still feeling cautious because of my experience the previous day. I stood still and looked around, trying to hear or see if anything was lurking in the shadows of the forest, but found nothing. I checked satellite image of the island on my phone and found that there was some kind of marsh just a little bit to the east of the pine trees. I wasn't sure if I wanted to move to the north very close to the marsh and far from the fresh water source, but I didn't want to go through yesterday's terrible experience anymore. I will decide later, I told myself. After I seen enough of the northern part, I returned to my camp. I made a stop to take some coconuts on the way back. Back at the camp, the strange atmosphere returned and it started to affect my mental state. I have not recovered from the grief of losing my friend. Even worse, the memory of me discovering her lifeless body covered in her own blood like a scene from a gory movie still haunts me. Sometimes it just came back, rushing back to my mind whenever I stopped doing any activities. Somehow, this island intensified the terrible memory. I didn't like staying too long at the camp, so I took my mask and snorkel, made a hunting spear and went into the sea to hunt for fish. About half an hour later, I returned to the beach without any fish and decided to go to the north again. In the north, I dived into the bay and all of a sudden, a strong current dragged me towards the sandbank. I tried to fight the current and swam up the slope. I noticed that the current was heading towards this dark underwater canyon between the island and the sandbank. If I had my scuba diving gear, I'd be happy to explore the canyon. Exhausted, I walked out of the bay and sat in the shade of pine trees, watching a fisherman's boat passing by in the distance. Out of nowhere, I started to cry. I wasn't sure why. A few moments passed and I stopped crying. I picked up my things and head back to the camp, worried that high tide would close my way back and that I had to go into the forest to get back. On my way back, I saw a man near my camp taking pictures of me with his phone. I walked up to him and he smiled and greeted me. I was confused as to why there is another person in this island as it's supposed to be empty. He said he wanted to talk. I asked what about and he just said, let's talk back at my camp. Upon reaching my camp, I saw four other people including the boat captain from yesterday. This drew my curiosity and worries. Were they here trying to rob me or am I in trouble? I asked what's going on and the first man introduced himself as the chief of Fish Village. He introduced the others, but I didn't bother to remember their names because I was anxious at the current situation. He started explaining that he was to investigate me on behalf of the sub-district head about my intention for my visit in the island. Apparently, my arrival to the sub-district and my visit to the island had been a hot topic in the whole area. I became quite famous overnight. A rumor said I was in possession of a bomb to do coral bombing. Another rumor said I was a treasure hunter who came to the island to seek its hidden treasure. And the last rumor said I was a serial killer hiding from the authorities. The rumors are so ridiculous that I wanted to laugh, but I held back because I didn't want to offend anybody. I simply told them I was doing my research and was going to write a book about the island. The chief asked me for my ID and I showed him, and he asked me nicely to come to him to the fish village. According to him, the sub-district head and the police wanted him to take me to the sub-district office, but he tried to calm them down and told them that he would speak to me first. It's getting dark, so I packed all my stuff and my tent. I saw the gentlemen were getting uneasy, so I sped up my pace and followed them to the boat. Before we started with the interview, I asked him for a drink. He told me where to get it, so I went out and buy it. When I head out, the main road of the village is just a small paved pathways. They often don't have electricity at night, so I walk in the dark. They seem to be used to walk in the dark without any lights. I found a little shop and bought a can of Sprite. When I returned to the chief's house, he was already alone and ready to interview me. He asked me about my intention, and he said that I was supposed to report to the sub-district office about it. They were concerned about my safety, so I asked him why. He was hesitant at first to answer my question. Then he revealed that the island is the most haunted place in that area. I just nodded in amusement because I don't believe in such thing. He also said some locals got lost in the woods. I asked what happened to them, but he didn't answer. He only said that the locals don't go into the woods. In fact, they would not dare to go to the island alone. He then told me a story about one of the fishermen who lived there during dry season. He went out to get some water from the well when he noticed one of his neighbors sat on the stairs outside his own hut. So he came up to him for a small talk. I talked a bit, then the fisherman moved on to get his water. The next day, he returned to the fish village and found out that the neighbor he talked to last night passed away a few days ago. While I like stories like that for entertainment, I still find it hard to believe. All my life, I've only seen these kind of things once. And I wasn't even sure what that was because I didn't even have time to react to it except for a startled scream before it was gone. I remember I was doing some laundry in the back of the second floor of my house. It was like half open space with an iron bars covering the opening, so no living being bigger than a rat would be able to sneak into the house. It was at midnight. Yeah, an odd time to do laundry, but that was kind of my habit. I was talking to my ex-boyfriend while taking out my clothes out of the dryer when suddenly, at the corner of my eyes, I saw a shadow moving fast out of my house. I turned my head towards the door, and there it was. A nearly 2 meters tall shadow stood there, staring at me with its bloodshot eyes. I was shocked and let out a spontaneous scream. My ex, who was talking to me, turned around to see what I was screaming at, but the shadow moved and flew out through the bars so quick that my ex didn't see it. Maybe it was just my imagination or my mind playing tricks on me, who knows? If only I could draw my camera as quick as it showed itself. So, I always find people who believe in ghost sighting videos on the internet ridiculous. Like, how are those cameras just conveniently there recording or capturing the sightings with a perfect angle? These things, if they were real, would show up when we least expected. At least, that's what I think. After we were done with the interview, the chief told me how the sub-district head was calling him the other night asking if there were any fishermen on the island because he saw a bonfire at night. And since the island is pretty far from the port village, the fire must be quite big to be seen from the distance. I was confused and told the chief that there was no bonfire at night. The fire I made was small, just big enough for cooking, and it died out before the dark. Then I say, probably it was from my tent. So I didn't think much of it and asked if I could return the island the next morning. The chief wasn't sure. He stopped and think for a bit and finally said I could return to the island only if I check in on them every day. I agreed to it. He then said that I'm the bravest, if not craziest, outsider he ever met, that I'm the first one that ever stepped foot on that island.
Fellow listeners of Supernatural Confessions, if you like our podcast content and wish to support us, do buy us coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/SCFridayLife. We appreciate every single cup of it. And this is the last part. The next day, the chief and the boat captain took me back to the island. This time, I asked them to drop me off at the North Bay. We talked a bit on the way. The chief still wasn't sure about taking me back there, but I assured him that I'm not scared and I'm used to deal with paranormal things. I didn't tell him that I'm not a believer because it might offend them, as they are a very traditional group of people. When we arrived at the bay, the two men helped me carry my stuff. I told them to drop it at the beach, but they insisted on carrying them to where I planned to camp. I was pretty sure they just wanted to know where I would camp. I led them to the pine trees through some knee-high bushes. At the camping spot, they put down my things and looked, observe the place. I assured the chief that I would call him once a day, and if I don't, he should wait one more day before checking on me, because my battery might run out and it kinda take a whole day to charge my portable battery using solar panels. They wanted to help me set up my camp, but I told them it's okay for them to leave. After they left, I built my tent and put most of my things aside. It was a cloudy, humid day, so I decided to take a quick swim and try my luck with spearfishing. The fish in the bay were pretty small, and I sucked at spearfishing, so I ended up just observing the coral reefs. I got startled by a sudden, quick yank at my left ankle. I looked back in panic at my feet, and there were nothing there. For a moment, I thought it was a titan triggerfish, as they could be pretty aggressive during mating season. But that wasn't the ugly human-like teeth. That felt like a hand. Feeling afraid, I swam back to the shore and observed the bay, just in case if there were another person in it. After a few minutes, nothing. I tried to rationalize it and told myself that I was just imagining things, as my mental state wasn't reliable due to my ongoing grief and trauma. I went back to the camp and dried myself. I took a hammock and set it up between two pine trees just next to my tent and lay on it with a book in my hand. I fell asleep not too long after and woke up at noon. My stomach was rumbling, asking for lunch, so I dragged myself out of the hammock and started gathering twigs for firewood. And that is when I heard the sound of a snap twig. I ignored it. Then another one. I still ignored it. Then came the third one. It was hard to ignore this time, so I looked around trying to pinpoint which direction it came from, but the sound disappeared as quickly as it came. I stood silent for a few seconds, focusing my hearing, but nothing. Just the sound of waves in the distance. Nothing much happened the whole day, as I was being lazy and didn't do much aside from reading a book and did a little jog along the bay. In late afternoon, I went to the west part to enjoy the sunset. This time, the tide usually was high and it would take a swim over the mangroves or cutting through the woods to get to the abandoned settlement, and it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to walk from the northern part. I was disappointed to find that it was too cloudy to see the sunset, so I walked back to the camp to prepare for dinner instead. It was starting to rain around 6 p.m. just when I started the fire. I let the rain put out the fire. Meanwhile, I washed myself from the saltwater residues with the rain before getting into my tent. I had to settle with hard protein bars for dinner instead. Then the rain got pretty heavy. I loved it. It was a nice ambience for sleeping. I pulled my sleeping bag and prepared it while I started to feel that chill feeling that I felt on the first night. It wasn't as intense, but it still alarmed me, and I expected the horrible thoughts that come flooding in my head, but they didn't. Instead, I heard whispers among the sound of the rain. Or I thought I heard them. Somehow, I managed to fall asleep. Morning arrived. The morning was uneventful, so I decided to go to the settlement to clean myself at the well and maybe find some buckets to collect rainwater so I don't have to go back and forth to the settlement. The island was quiet and peaceful as usual.
I saw some fishermen's boat in distance while I was heading towards the settlement. At the settlement, the feeling of being watched returned. I took a quick bath and then looked for water containers. At about 15 minutes, I finally found two good containers. Just before I left the settlement, I heard it again. That rustling in the woods followed by a strange noise. I quickly left, and on my way back, I still sensed that I was being watched, and more, I got a feeling that something was following me. I looked back every few steps, but nothing was there. When I finally reached back my camp, that is when I sat down and took another look back in the forest. That is when I saw it looked like something was hiding behind the trees. I'm not sure about what exactly I see, but it felt like something is there. Now I got goosebumps. I quickly ran to my camp, looked for my phone, and headed back to the cape where I could make a phone call. I called the boat captain a few times, but he didn't get through. So I tried calling the chief. He picked it up on the first try. I calmly talked to him and told him that I'm doing okay, and I asked him if he could arrange my pickup in the afternoon. He said it wouldn't be possible because it looked like a storm was coming. He asked me if the next morning is okay. I went silent for a few moments and then said, yeah, it's okay. We talked a bit more. Then I said, see you, and hung up the phone. I went back to my camp and didn't even bother to cook lunch. I stayed in my tents for the rest of the day. It was also raining, so I only ate a few more protein bars and snacks. I didn't feel like leaving my tent. At least it was my safe space. I put on my earphones and watched some movies on my phone until it got dark outside. I put my phone on charge and then turned on my LED lights. It was still raining and quite heavy too. That's good. That means I didn't have to hear any strange noises outside. But then I was wrong. I heard it again this time. Whispers. But I couldn't make out what they were saying because of the rain, and also I didn't really want to pay close attention to it. Since my phone was on charge and I forgot to charge my wireless headphone, I had nothing to distract me from those whispers. Again, my nape hair stood up and I got goosebumps. To distract me from those creepy situations, I started to sing. I kept singing and singing on repeat until I fell asleep. Then, I was woken up by a pat on my right shoulder. Until today, I'm still not sure whether it is a dream or it actually happened. I opened my eyes and looked around in my tent, half asleep, and saw nothing. I mumbled something. I didn't know what I said, and I went back to sleep. The morning came, and the rain had already stopped. I brought my phone to the cape and called him, asking the chief what time he would pick me up. He said, in 2 hours' time. Soon came a boat that picked me up, and I left the island behind. The island is still one of the most beautiful islands I've ever been to. And I've been to many, many beautiful islands, and also the strangest I've ever experienced in my life. I would love to return to that place, but probably with some friends. I'm still in denial. I still refuse to believe in the paranormal things outside the realm of entertainment. Because if I don't believe it, it can't hurt me, right? We have come to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.